So, give us a sort of a try to visualize what your vision or what the committee's vision for Obie Creek would look like. We're thinking about buildings that are facing the street, so it looks actually inviting as you're driving up and down 15501. The comparison that keeps coming back in the committee report is to Southern Village and sort of Meadowmont to a lesser extent, both of which are sort of set off of the road, so you can't necessarily see it from 15501 or 54. So what would be a comparison that people might be familiar with, if there is one? I was trying to imagine one in my head and not really coming up with one that's in this area.
Well, I think first of all, even though Southern Village and Meadowmont are used as the examples, they're also used as the lessons.
Right.
And I think everybody acknowledges that in those cases, you needed some more retail and more density. So first of all, that was something that we all addressed, was this need for more density. I think the second thing is that the other lessons learned is that Southern Village, Market Street, nobody knows it's there when they drive by. But East 54, for instance, is just right there up against the road. So it's kind of that balancing act of, as you're driving down the road, you know that it's there and it's inviting, but it's not just up in your face.
Yep.
I think to Susan's point, that whole other side of the road is really crucial. We talked a lot when we talked about traffic and transportation about the fact that it's a combination of mixes of uses and density that determine how much traffic something generates. So our hope was that you could look at something like a grocery store or some other retail, and by putting it on the Southern Village side, you get a lot of benefits. You've co-leased it, or you've leased it, so you get that benefit. You're co-locating it with a park and ride lot. So if I come home on the bus and I need milk and eggs and bananas, I can just go and get it.
Yep.
Yeah, if I'm a mom, a soccer mom who's sitting there with my kids in practice, I can do my grocery shopping. And also, by putting it on that side of the road, it's much closer to a dense portion of Southern Village. So it solved a lot of problems. And then, like Susan said, it activates. So if you can imagine yourself being at Weaver Street, and then maybe even having some additional retail that kind of winds you along up and then over the bridge and then gets you into an active area, that's one thing. I think the other part is that we felt that the project has still got some big block sizes and big buildings, and you don't see through it.
Mm-hmm.
So here we've got this 80-acre parcel that's going to be dedicated to not being a natural area, but you don't see through it. You don't benefit from it. So we were hoping that was going to be integrated more into the design.
Focusing on the look and making it welcoming and inviting.
Taking better advantage of that natural hillside for public use. Right now, it's all private townhomes, except for there's a spot where it breaks through. But that's one of the opportunities that we really have for doing placemaking, to have this be a unique place, to have it not be like Southern Village, like Meadowmont, but be its own unique.
And let the record show you're making air quotes with your hands there. I think that's important too, because I was looking at the committee report. I was looking at some of the Obie Creek documents and thinking, well, this is all great, but it's just, there's a danger that it's another Southern Village, another Meadowmont, and we don't want that necessarily. Mm-hmm. So talk about the retail possibilities. You mentioned a grocery store, sort of smaller buildings. I know there's a possibility for a hotel there, which would be nice. Office space, tech center, startup incubators, and a lot more. What about a big box? Is that something that's compatible with the vision?
I'm so glad you asked, because I think that
I couldn't let it go without asking.
No. I think that there's been way too much focus on the big box question. The idea of a Target or a major retailer down there was something that actually has a lot of support, and that people are quite willing to do. I've had many people in my neighborhood say, "I would love to be able to buy towels across the street. Mm-hmm. Oh, please, can I buy a pair of shoes?" And yes. So I think that the committee supported that idea. What the committee had a problem with was a building that was an acre-sized building.
Mm-hmm.
And Target, I know I shopped at this in Atlanta. You can build a nice two-story building that has a Target in it or another big box retailer. The people get a little wound up about urban Targets, and I think that's a bit of a misnomer, because what happens is it is hard for big box retailers to go into big cities because they have to retrofit buildings.
Mm-hmm.
But this is not nearly as big a challenge for the retailer. Another couple of things, though, I would say about retail. If I got a chance to talk to the owner's leasing agent, is I would say these days retail's in big flux. People are they are shrinking.
We should say you study retail development, retail trends as well. So
I do. It's shrinking. They're shrinking their footprints. And what I would do at a place like Obie Creek was I would make sure the place was wired up because everybody uses their mm-hmm. technology while they're shopping. And the other thing you have an opportunity to do there is have a depot, is to make it possible for people to shop and then pick up their goods later on. Mm-hmm. This would really encourage foot traffic and bike traffic. And if you
what would something like that look like?
Oh, you would make it easy, a place where it was easy to get in and out in a car.
Okay.
And that where the goods could be collected. Back in the 50s, ladies would go shopping and they would have their purchases delivered. Those days are gone, and it's too inconvenient to wait for delivery. But if you could go buy your thing, you're there with your child, you're on foot, you can buy your stuff, you can then later in the day when you're driving past it, you can swing in and pick it up. Mm-hmm. This is a big part of what's happening. People's actual shopping and actually picking up the goods are becoming separated these days. So I think it's an opportunity to have a kind of futuristic retail space over there with pop-up stores and
that's actually
some fun stuff.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. I mean, as we're thinking about developing the space that is currently undeveloped, it's sort of a blank slate at this point right now, which means that we have so many opportunities, and we also have to think about, okay, we can conceive of what shopping and what the needs of the town are going to be 20, 30 years down the road and plan for that. How about transportation? Which is the other sort of overarching question here. I know one of the main concerns, and this is everyone's concern because 15501 in that area, I do traffic reports every single day, and it's always, 15501 right over by Southern Village, it's backed up again, and any new development is only going to add traffic demands to it. So what is the concern, and what are the recommendations for traffic on 15501?
Well, so you're absolutely right that traffic has been the number one concern, not only for the community members, but for council members. A lot of them have said that that's kind of the deal breaker for them. But quite honestly, if you're someone who's going to lease it, whether it's for retail or office space, traffic and the ability for cars to get to you or for people to get to you is important as well. The initial traffic impact analysis has been done, and people have begun to look at it, but it probably needs some further analysis and discussion. For instance, one of the things that people have pointed out is that it suggests that 10% of the people who come and go from Obie Creek will be via bus. Mm-hmm. But currently that area is served by the NS and the V buses, which only run weekdays, limited evening hours. And then, of course, can only get you certain places. The retail people that work for Roger Perry will point out to you that they're going to try and draw from a 3 to 5 mile radius, and that would mean places like Carrboro would need to be able, mm-hmm. who's underserved too, would need to be able to come by bus. So that's one part of the discussion. Traffic mitigations, the James Taylor Bridge, there's a number of intersections there that are already pushing it, as you've commented. So the DOT is in the process of looking at some of that. So traffic is an ongoing discussion, and really we need to nail down what the mitigations are and how much they're going to cost and what the trade-offs are.
It's simultaneously very cool and exciting and daunting to conceive of just how many different facets of town politics and town government this touches. It's one development on 15501, and as soon as you start talking about it, all of a sudden you're talking about needs for Chapel Hill Transit and commercial versus property taxes and affordable housing and schools and transportation and everything. One thing that we've talked about a little bit on WCHL recently, but it's a very, very big development, and it affects, to an extent at least, it affects transportation on 15501 in that area as well, as Chatham Park, which we were talking about before we started here. Chatham Park is the just approved development in Pittsburgh, which is going to, presumably over the next few decades, add 60,000 people to a town that currently has 3,000 people in it. And then you've got that 15501 corridor, which is right now the way to get between Pittsburgh and Chapel Hill. How does that impact the thinking regarding transportation in Obie Creek?
I think that's
they're both pointing at each other, like, you answer this question.
I didn't know who was answering.
Yeah.
I think it's a very good question. Chatham Park's a really good question. The NCDOT has actually been doing a corridor study that goes from 64, from I-64 all the way up. I don't know how much that has taken this into effect, Chatham Park. Hopefully, given that it's just recently been approved, they'll go back and revisit that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely a factor that we need to take into consideration. But as you said, it all gets complicated, too, because not only does it affect the traffic and who's going to be coming and going, but it also affects things like, for instance, one of the retail people will tell you that a lot of retail now is going to go down to 15501 and 64.
Right.
So it's kind of, what are the traffic pattern changes going to be, and then what's the best use, what can serve both the community and the town at Obie Creek? What's the best uses there?
And we've got to wrap this up. But Jeannie Brown and Susan Lindsay, thank you so much, first of all, for joining us. And just to conclude, as we're taking a look at this, as this plan, and this is going to be an ongoing conversation for quite a while, Chapel Hill Town Council meeting on this on Monday. What is the one, if there is one thing that you want people to keep in mind, the town council to keep in mind, Roger Perry and the developers to keep in mind as they move forward and start adjusting and making tweaks and changes to this plan before it's finalized and approved, is there one thing that you want to say, focus on this, think about this definitely?
Well, I think it's a tremendous opportunity. And I think that when we rush it, and I know that Roger's feeling like he's been at this for a very long time, but we've actually made really good progress. And the committee thought really thoughtfully and hard about things. I think just like Southern Village is seen as a real jewel in Southern Chapel, in Chapel Hill itself, I think that if we rush this too fast and don't think about certain things, we waste that opportunity to make a really, really great place.
Susan?
Ditto.
All right. That's the last word. All right. Susan Lindsay, Jeannie Brown, thank you so much for joining us.